Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida.
So we're going to talk about healing, why some people heal at different rates than others. If they get a treatment, they want to know if their heal time is going to be similar to that their friend or whatever. And there are a lot of variables that go into that.
So many variables. And it's interesting because the patient will say, like, I got the same exact thing that my friend got, but they take twice as long to heal. And so I believe that, you know, it's important for us to have a discussion and talk to people about ways they can optimize their healing, why we recommend certain things after procedures to help some help patients heal faster. And it's really, we've kind of got this down to really like fine science now, where we know that if we do certain things, it will promote healing and they will have less complications from that. So much so that we actually include it in many of our procedures. So there are things that we do now that we used to only consider an add-on, or somebody would pay extra for these, extra super healing gels or creams or topicals that we could put on. Now we include it in the price because we think it's so important to really kind of accelerate the healing. Patients will tell us, like, we don't care. Like, we'll go through the downtime as long as I get a good result. But in reality, nobody likes to have a significant amount of downtime.
Yeah. Well, we just saw that this weekend with a patient that had a procedure, was expecting to be red, to, like, not be able to be in the sun. But she actually had a little bit of swelling with her treatment. She had a plexor treatment and had a little bit of swelling with it. And she was concerned that she had the swelling, which didn't concern either of us, part of the normal healing process. But she had someone she knew that had a similar treatment that didn't have that. And so I think we all kind of compare our heal journeys to what we're familiar with, whether it was another friend or a treatment we've had in the past. But like you said, there are a lot of variables that go into that. Some of them are certainly post-care, but also it could be what the patient's on or what they're taking leading up to the treatment. So even down to something as simple as Botox or dermal fillers even, you know, part of our intake process is we review patient medication. Some medications increased risk for bruising, bleeding, which in turn can cause like elongated swelling. And some of those are something as simple as supplements like fish oil.
Yeah, certainly the things that are going to thin the blood or make you bruise easier, it's going to make you more prone to bruise after procedures. But there's other things I think that people don't think about a lot that can also impact their healing. So there are some things like retinols or retin-A's that improve skin cell turnover. And so they may get a better result overall, but if they don't notify the provider before they do the procedure, they can actually get significantly more inflammation and a little bit longer recovery, because all the things that we do, from topical peels to some of the injectables, can behave in a stronger manner with patients who are on those type of topical products. So that's one of the things that we always ask, are you on Retin-A or any kind of retinol containing solution? So it's not just things that we think about with like genetics or the aggressiveness of the procedure, but that patient's condition and some of the topical agents they may be on when they come in to see us.
So do you like to stop Retin-A prior to treatments?
I personally do not. I take that into account and would rather adjust my treatment than to have them stop it. Now, there are certain things that it's probably wise to stop it before. And so I wouldn't say that across the board. So I think that's where it you definitely need to talk to your provider and make sure that provider is aware of what you're on, so they can either make an appropriate plan to have you stop a certain number of days before. Personally, for most of the procedures that we do here, I have the patients continue on their retinol, and we've made adaptations in our protocols to account for that and let them continue it.
Yeah. In fact, I think oftentimes it enhances their outcome. One of the ones that I do encourage them to stop is the Neogen. And just because we don't need the skin.
I think with the aggressive like CO2, some of those, it's definitely wise to have them stop it, you know, for 5 to 7 days before. So it's not an across the board, but for some of the other ones, some of our milder chemical peels, even some of the VI peels, there are a lot of places that will stop that before they do it. And you and I both have done it for many years, and we actually have them continue on. It's usually only the very aggressive lasers that we encourage them to stop a few days before, 5 days before really is what in our protocol. I just want to make sure people listening to that don't take that as the, I think the message for the patients is to talk to their provider about it, because we've made adaptations here in our protocol and the way the patients heal to account for that. But if patients, I don't want you hearing it and saying, well, I heard that you, it's okay to continue on that. Make sure you talk to your provider, because there are risks with doing that. And it's not, always follow what your provider recommends.
I think that some of the things that impact healing is overall health. Certainly genetics, we talked about that a little, but overall health and how do they heal from other things. So underlying diseases, disease processes and illnesses, autoimmune, et cetera, can impact like heal processes.
Definitely that. And also things like smoking, nicotine, that's a big inhibitor of the healing process in general. Causes a lot of inflammation throughout the body. So we definitely talk to patients about that. We still have a fair number that will continue to smoke regardless of our advice. So I think it's just important that, again, be honest with the providers in their in your review of your history with them, because they can make adjustments to your treatment based on what your condition is. And for some of the aggressive procedures, we actually dial it back a little bit, because if we know that they have some of those conditions, they have a history of not healing well, they're smoking, they're on a poor diet, they're not going to be compliant, then we're actually a lot less aggressive, because there can be some serious complications from the more aggressive procedures. I just saw one thing on Facebook. It's really quite scary, but it was actually a death from an aesthetic procedure. And although it's incredibly rare when you look at the approved procedures and providers, it is an example of how things can go very wrong. And it was like a fully ablative procedure, and that patient had got an aggressive infection from that. And then that turned into a necrotizing infection on the ventilator and septic, and ended up passing away. Now, I don't know all the details of it. This was a social media story, and it was a family sharing the story of what it looked like immediately after the laser and the patient on the ventilator all the way up through their death. But that's where, you know, most of what we do is relatively low risk. And we are able to, even with some of the more risky things like filler in the nose, for instance, death is not usually what that is going to be the outcome for that, especially when you're going to train providers. But part of that also is dependent on the patient being upfront and honest with their history, what they're doing, and the way that they're going to take, if they're going to be compliant with the care afterwards. So when we do these very aggressive procedures, it's a risk to the patient and to us. And so we're always weighing that. Now, I'll tell you, at Skin and Tonic, for the most part, we're not doing things that are fully ablative. We're doing like usually partially ablative, and even our more aggressive CO2s, still we're leaving a fair amount of normal skin there to promote the healing process. So we're not doing the same sort of things that they're doing under like surgical anesthesia. We're not being that aggressive. Now, if you look at some of the photos, it looks like we have been, because we damage a fair amount of the skin, and it swells and gets red, and you can't tell those little micro channels. But in reality, if we looked, we would see that, you know, 50 or 60% of the skin at least was left untouched. So it's a lot of little islands of their normal. And that's for someone like, I'm using an example, the most aggressive like CO2 lasers that we do actually in the clinic.
I had one recently, and heal time was a little longer because she does smoke. She shared that with us. We did a consultation and opted not to do a treatment the day of consultation, because I wanted her to think about it and be able to consider all the options. But her heal time was slightly longer. Inflammation was probably more than it would have been had she not been a smoker. You know, we have some other things here that we can do post treatment to help promote healing. And we did do that with her, knowing her history. You know, some of the things we do exosomes. We have Skin Aid that is also.
So that's more of the nutritional supplement. And I think we also need to remember that nutrition it's important, because we need collagen to heal. And when we're creating wounds through some inflammatory process, we need to build collagen to heal that. And so making sure that we have the nutritional building blocks to do that's really important. So, you know, an adequate vitamin C with the Skin Aid, it's a marine-based collagen with peptides in there to help build collagen. So yeah, we definitely recommend that for especially people who may not have the best nutritional status to start with.
Well, in the past, also we've all only had to deal with surgical intervention for weight loss, and which would delay healing because of nutritional status. But now we are currently having to deal with GLP-1s, and so that's one of the things to take into consideration. If you have someone that's not taking inappropriate nutrition or taking in the wrong nutrition and not getting enough protein, all of those are factors in healing as well.
What about hormones?
Hormones impact everything. You know, a lot of our, we see it, we treat a lot of perimenopausal, postmenopausal women here, and their healing time can also be delayed.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's from the decrease in estrogen, and we see like some of the thinning of the dermis after that occurs. So there's an actual, physiological reason that we're going to see that. So then it takes a little bit longer for them to heal sometimes. So it doesn't mean, again, we don't treat. It's all things that we take into account as we're coming up with a treatment plan. Now, I know that probably one of the more long-term complications that I can recall, and I'm guessing this is going to be for you as well, is when we treated one of our family members with a fairly aggressive CO2 laser. This is probably 14, 15 years ago at this point. And they went out and painted a fence. And so they thought they were healed, but this was just basically after the flaking had went away from the CO2. And so it was still really fresh. And we had talked a lot about sun exposure and sun protection. But despite that, they decided to get out and paint a fence. And we dealt with a lot of pigment problems for months, and we eventually got it resolved. But it was an early experience for us being on the coast, and we were even debating, do we even offer some of these procedures at certain times of the year because of patient compliance? And we know that sun exposure can significantly change the healing after any kind of any ablative procedure, for sure, but even after chemical peels.
I think sun exposure after the treatment, but also the other thing is sun exposure prior to the treatment can impact your results, at minimum impact your results, but also impact healing because it changes the integrity of the skin. You know, we have a lot of patients here on the coast that are outside, whether they're tanning or whatever. I mean, we still have sun a big portion of the year. And so a lot of times we'll put them on some type of lightening agent or treatment regimen before ever using the energy devices on them, just to optimize outcome.
So what do you think about the healing when we stack treatments? Does that impact it? And by stacking, I'm literally talking about doing them all on the same day.
Yes, I for sure think it impacts it. It's, and I think that's why we're selective as to what treatments we do together. Some of the treatments, you want the inflammatory process to get the best result. Some of the treatments will advise patients that it's okay to take an anti-inflammatory medication afterwards if they need it. And so I'm careful about stacking. We talked to all of our support staff here about the stacking treatments, and I really find it interesting and light watching the estheticians grow and even the front desk kind of putting together the pieces of the puzzle about what we can and can't do together. Like, it's fun to watch their brains start working more like a clinician, even if they're not in a clinical role.
I think also looking at what they do in other parts of the world. And so I believe we've dealt with it in some manner with travel patients, but there's also medical and aesthetic tourism. And so people will leave the country and go to other places, South America, the Korea, and they will get a lot of treatments. We have a patient that sees us here fairly regular that's a flight attendant and travels frequently out of the country and will go and get many treatments in one day. And it's kind of, when we look at that healing, it's significant, for the a week or so, but some pretty impressive results. And it sounds like they're going to reputable places that we see. And we have patients that travel less. And sometimes it's not just a matter of getting them if they're down the street and we can say, come back in 3 or 4 weeks and we'll do a series of treatments. If they've traveled from across the country to see us, then we try to do as much as we can in that one setting. But we do understand that that will impact it. And a lot of that has to do with the heat at different layers. And so when we're using different energy-based devices and targeting different layers, there can be more residual heat held within the skin. And so we have to take that into account as we start adjusting these devices and come up with ways to mitigate that. Our, as we plan our injections, we make sure we do it in the right sequence so we can combine different things together, but that the post-care for one is not interfering with the post-care from the other. And so there's a lot that goes into that treatment kind of sequencing, but I think from a patient standpoint, it's very important to have a conversation with the provider beforehand about your goals, be honest with them about your history, and then be compliant with your pre- and post-procedure care. From a provider standpoint, it's important to know that and to understand that patients, when they want things done, they may be prone to not necessarily tell you the truth because they're afraid that they're going to not get the treatment. And so I think explaining to them why we need that information, being as non-judgmental as possible and coming from a place that you're expressing sympathy, understanding. So, you know, even though I wish that we would stop smoking and not have it anywhere in this country, and I think it's bad for our health, it's bad for a million things, I know that's not the reality. So when my patients who smoke come in, it's not a place of judgment. I'm telling them why I want them to quit for them to get the best results. But if they're going to smoke anyway, I'd rather them tell me about it. Let me take that into account. I'm not going to be as aggressive because I want to keep them safe, but still work with them to get the result.
We've also had patients that used treatments that we do as motivation to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. We have one of our long, long time patients that worked with you at the hospital because you would never do PRP on her. Because you told her it wasn't going to work as well in a smoker. And Chris actually told her that if she would stop smoking, we would do her first PRP treatment free. And after a couple of years, like, she showed up to cash in. And so those are things that we take into consideration, because the better skin quality and the better health you have going into these treatments, the better you're going to heal ultimately, the better results you're going to have coming out. And we want that for all of our patients, because we want patients to be happy, but we also want the best results that we can get.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.